This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Research has shown the importance of early childhood education. Children who attend quality pre-K programs can develop skills that help form the foundation of their future success. In her latest book, The Most Important Year, Pre-Kindergarten and the Future of Our Children, Suzanne Bouffard explores what young children need in their earliest years of school and how best to provide it. She recently talked with me about her work and what she discovered as she studied pre-K programs around the country. Suzanne, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
So what makes this pre-K year, this first year of education, so crucial for children?
For many children, it's really the beginning of their formal education, and it gives them a foundation that allows them to be good learners for the rest of school. A good pre-K program teaches young children to learn to be learners. It teaches them to be curious about how things work and find answers to problems. And those kinds of things are more important than ever before, now that we live in a knowledge economy. And we talk a lot about wanting children to be critical thinkers as they get older. And the foundation for those habits is established in the very earliest years. So good pre-K programs set that up. And they also help children learn how to function successfully in a classroom. So they teach kids how to be part of a group, how to pay attention and wait their turn, and then get kids used to following the routines of a classroom. Good teachers help children develop what researchers call self-regulation skills. And that means they give them strategies and skills to manage frustration, be patient, work out conflicts. And when children develop those skills in preschool, then they're able to control their own behavior so that when they go to kindergarten and beyond, they're less likely to have behavior problems, and teachers are less likely to struggle to control the group because kids have already developed a lot of those skills.
Do you have an age suggestion, Suzanne, for kids to start preschool, or is it more by individual child?
There are many good reasons for children to be in preschool around the age of 3 or 4, because there are a lot of things that you can learn in a classroom setting and in a group that you can't necessarily learn at home. And that includes how to be part of a group dynamic, how to follow a teacher's instructions. And children have a way of acting a little bit differently when they're not with their own families and they're outside of the classroom. So I do think it's really beneficial for kids around 3 or 4 to be in a classroom setting. Now, many kids are exposed to a classroom earlier than that, sometimes from birth, because either their families need it for childcare reasons or because their families feel like it's just the right fit for them and is helpful for their children. And so it's important that when we talk about quality in pre-K, we recognize that we also need quality services for younger children, because many children are going to be in a classroom from a younger age.
Now, are all pre-K programs created equal? Do you think there's variations in the quality of the programs across the country?
Programs are definitely not all created equal, and that was one of the main reasons that I wanted to write this book. When I started visiting classrooms, I was really struck by how much difference there is in what they do and how well they do it, sometimes even within the same school district or within the same city. And part of the issue is that we don't have a consistent system the way that we do in K-12 education. And then certainly K-12 education, the quality varies quite a bit as well. So you add the complexity of multiple funding streams and multiple ways that parents find and choose and pay for programs, and there's quite a range of quality. And research studies have been documenting over the past several years this range of quality. And they find that there are a handful of really excellent programs and a corresponding handful of really poor programs that could actually be detrimental for children. But the bulk of programs are in the middle of that range and are really mediocre in quality.
Well, what are the dangers of a poor or less than average pre-K system?
There are problems with that, both from the level of individual kids and also for society as a whole. So when we first look at kids, when you're in a poor classroom environment, it can cause a couple of problems. For one thing, if you teach children in ways that are not appropriate for young kids, like lecturing at them, testing them often, you know, sort of a strict skill and drill approach, that's not how young children are wired to learn and function, and it can really turn them off to school for the long term, and it can also cause them to have acting out and behavior problems. Also, in a classroom where teachers are not well trained in how to handle young children's behaviors, if they are harsh and punitive and mean to young children, that can also exacerbate acting out behaviors and actually make those kinds of things worse. And those behaviors are more likely to get children in trouble in the long term and more likely to end up in special education, even if perhaps they didn't need it from a cognitive perspective, but they are now there because of behavioral reasons. Now, at the societal level, another reason I wanted to write the book is because I was worried that as we scale up programs very quickly around the country, that there might not be enough attention to creating quality programs. And I was afraid that if we don't pay attention to quality, then 5 or 10 years from now, we'll look back and policymakers will say, oh, those programs didn't work. I guess pre-K is not that important. Let's stop funding it and move on to something else. When what we know is that good pre-K programs really do work for kids. And so if we don't pay attention to quality, it really does a disservice to everyone.
So you're talking about how being too regimented can be detrimental to a child at an early education. What's the role of play? Should play be part of the whole pre-K concept?
Play is essential for young children. That's really the way that young kids learn. They learn through hands-on exploration and by being excited and being playful. They learn all kinds of skills that way. So, for example, they are more likely to learn math skills when they're playing a game than when you give them a worksheet. And they're more likely to learn new vocabulary words, too, when you do it through play. So one really interesting study compared different kinds of play, and they gave children and their parents blocks. And in one group, they just said, go ahead and play with the blocks, do whatever you want. In another group, they gave them very specific instructions. And then in a third group, they said, use this block to build a heliport. And they didn't tell them how to do it. And what they found is that the children in that last condition, which they called guided play, they didn't have a strict script they had to follow, but they did have a goal in mind. Those kids learned more. They used more complex vocabulary. They were more engaged. And they also developed more kind of complex structures. So what we're learning from research is that if you want children to learn something, it's very helpful to set up activities with a specific learning goal in mind, but then give them some flexibility and some freedom. So you want them to have opportunities to choose the activities that they do, and then in those activities, they should have some freedom of how to explore and how to do it. And the adult, whether it's a teacher or a parent, can play a positive role by asking them questions, like, what would happen if you tried this instead? Or tell me a little bit more about why you decided to do it that way. Those things nudge and, you know, kind of gently push children to do more thinking and to learn more things. Now, that's not to say that free play is unimportant for young children. They do need plenty of opportunities to do free play, both in and outside of school. But we also want to make sure that we are giving them enough guidance to push their learning along.
What's the importance, Suzanne, of the role of the teacher in pre-K and early education?
The role of the teacher is absolutely essential. And for lack of a better expression, that's kind of where the rubber meets the road of pre-K programs. Children learn in the context of positive relationships. They're much more likely to learn if they have a teacher that they trust, that they enjoy spending time with, and that they have a positive relationship with. They're also much more likely to learn when their teachers are very knowledgeable about young children and they understand the kinds of ways that they can encourage kids to be curious, set up interesting activities, and especially deal with children's challenges that they present. Because we all know that 3- and 4-year-olds can be very challenging. So it's really important for a teacher to understand how to use those opportunities to build kids' self-regulation skills rather than to just be frustrated and stick a child in a corner. So we're learning from research that the most important thing that you can do to improve pre-K programs is to invest in teachers. We need to attract and retain the best and brightest teachers that we can. And to do that, we need to think seriously about paying teachers better. There's a shocking number, about half of early childhood teachers in this country are paid so poorly that they are eligible for public assistance programs. Mm. And we're spending about $2 billion a year as a country on those public assistance benefits rather than investing on the front end in teachers. So we need to think seriously about that. And we also need to think more about supporting teachers as they go through the profession. They need continuing professional development, and they need mentors who can help them navigate the challenges and be the best teachers that they can possibly be. And in some of the country's model programs, in places like Boston and New Jersey, what research is finding is it's really helpful when teachers have a coach or a mentor teacher who comes in and observes the teacher's classroom and tells her what she's doing well, and then gives her some strategies and suggestions for the things that she's struggling with. And that's really important for any teacher, no matter how well prepared she is to go into the classroom, because teaching is a really difficult profession, especially with challenging young kids, and it takes time to get it right.
I'm talking with Suzanne Bouffard. She's the author of The Most Important Year, Pre-Kindergarten and the Future of Our Children. And Suzanne, a lot of pre-K staff pretty much made up of women. Is there a case to be made to try to attract more men to pre-K education?
That's a really interesting question. You're right that the vast majority of teachers are women. I have visited classrooms that also have male teachers who are excellent and, you know, do a great job with children. And in many communities where children don't have a lot of access to male figures, that can be really positive and beneficial for them. I have not seen research specifically on this topic, but I think it's a really important area to look into for the future.
How do you think the United States is doing at promoting early childhood education compared to other countries around the world? Are we heading in the right direction?
While we are seeing progress in terms of expanding access to early childhood education, we still rank near the bottom of industrialized countries in our investments. We rank 28 out of 38 countries in how much we spend on early childhood education. And that's really an embarrassment for a country that cares about education and that wants to succeed in the global economy. We are seeing definitely a lot of growth in programs at the state level and the city level, and we are now at a point where about two-thirds of four-year-olds are in some kind of pre-K program. About one-third are in a publicly funded program. But the National Institute for Early Education Research, which tracks the availability of publicly funded programs, recently estimated that in order for us to have publicly funded spots for every child in the country, if we continue at the rate of growth we're at now, it would take us almost 100 years to get there.
We have a new administration now, the Trump administration, and Betsy DeVos is our education secretary. I'm just wondering what you think of their commitment to pre-K. What do you sense there? What do you see there?
So far, they have said very little about early childhood education. The previous administration invested an unprecedented amount of money in early childhood education programs, including competitive grants to 18 states to either develop or expand a pre-K program. Those grants are continuing for the next couple of years, and then we will see what happens after that. The good news is that a lot of the activity in early childhood education is happening at state and city levels. And that's a positive thing in many respects. One of the things we have to acknowledge, though, is that in some cases, federal funding, for example, those grants from the Obama administration, are enabling those local programs. So there is a connection between the federal funding and the local funding. Now, just speculating, we know that the Trump administration and Betsy DeVos have placed a high priority on vouchers and choice for K-12 education. So I think it would not be surprising if they were to talk about early childhood education to see them move in that direction. And we do have some voucher programs in states and in localities. For example, some low-income families receive a voucher from the state that they can use at various private programs. And that does a lot to improve access for many families. But it doesn't necessarily do enough to improve quality in those programs. There is an argument that vouchers can improve quality because they create competition, and that the market will then sort out the better programs from the poorer programs. But I worry about that in early education for a couple of reasons. One is that I worry that we will lose children in the process of sorting out the good programs from the bad programs, and that it would take a few years of children being in a poor program before the market realized that it was a poor program. The other reason I worry is that in that system, sometimes the best interest of children is not at the forefront, and the focus is really on the bottom line, both for programs and also for families who are struggling, that we want to get families to a place where we can look beyond simply the cost of a program and make sure that programs are affordable and great for our children.
So how do parents figure out if they're getting their child into a high-quality program?
There are certain things that you can look for when you go in to visit, even if it's only a 5 or 10 minute tour of a program. And I write about this in the book, and there's even kind of a checklist laid in the book that talks about what some of those things are that you can look for. I always tell parents to not worry so much about whether the facility is beautiful and fancy and whether you see beautiful posters on the walls, but instead to really look at what's happening in classrooms between teachers and children. So in a good pre-K program, teachers are positive with children and encouraging. They get down on children's level. They play with them. They engage them in rich conversations. And at a very basic level, in good programs, teachers are happy to be there. If you visit a program and teachers seem frustrated or burnt out or they're rolling their eyes at children, that's not a good sign. It's not good for children. And it can also be a sign that they are not well supported by the program. Teacher turnover in early childhood programs is very high, in large part because the salary and the benefits are so low. So that's a good thing to ask about, too. If you have a pretty stable teacher workforce, that's often a good sign that a program is taking care of its teachers and creating a stable environment for children. And then the third thing that I often tell people to look for is to look around the classroom environment and see what you see. Do you see interesting activities that the children are engaged in and that they have the opportunity to choose? And do you see evidence on the walls of work that they've done, their artwork, their drawings, their writing, those kinds of things? That's a really good sign that teachers are engaging children in the process of learning. Sometimes it might be tempting to see a classroom with fancy commercial posters on the walls. But those things actually don't really do much to teach children, and they can actually be distracting for young children's learning. So those are a few of the important things that parents can look for in classrooms.
And Suzanne, how do you answer parents who are concerned that pre-K is taking away their responsibility for raising their children and turning it over to the state? How do you address that concern?
Good pre-K programs partner with families to provide even more positive stimulation for children. They are not a replacement for family at all. Families are children's first and most important teachers, and children still spend the majority of their time with their families, as they should whenever possible. But pre-K programs can offer things to kids that they can't necessarily get at home, and that includes navigating being part of a group. It includes figuring out how do you share resources and how do you deal with it when you have a conflict with a child, maybe a child who's very different from you that you wouldn't necessarily or your family wouldn't necessarily choose to play with outside of school. Those are really valuable life skills, and those are the kinds of things that children can get at school that they can't get at home. And in good pre-K programs, teachers and parents share information with each other so that they can be consistent, and that goes both ways. Parents should feel very comfortable to share information about their child with the teacher because it helps the teachers do a good job. So, you know, you might not think that it's important to tell the teacher that your child didn't sleep well or that he has an ear infection, but those things really impact kids' behaviors, and so it's really good for a teacher to know that. And then on the flip side, teachers sometimes have really good strategies that they can share with parents about how to handle a behavior issue, how to help with potty training, all different kinds of things that teachers have dealt with many, many, many times before, and that they can really be a resource for parents.
You talk in the book about the myth of the silver bullet, that pre-K is often viewed as being the answer to a lot of educational problems. I'm wondering if you can address that.
Pre-K is a really important piece of the puzzle when it comes to creating equal opportunity for all children. But it's not the only important piece of the puzzle. Children need high-quality learning experiences before they get to pre-K and, of course, afterwards. So there are certain skills that tend to develop in the ages from birth to age 3. And so children need high-quality learning environments, whether it's at home or in some kind of an early care setting. That's critically important. But we're also starting to see from research that in order for the benefits of pre-K to last, we need excellent elementary school programs as well. And that might sound like common sense, but sometimes it gets a little lost in the conversation about pre-K. There was, for a long time, a conversation about the fade-out effect of Head Start and other early childhood programs, which is that kids who participated did better in the short term, but in the long run, a few years later, they were doing no better than their peers who didn't go to these programs. And one of the things we started to learn from research is that that is, in many cases, because those children go on to lower quality schools. And there's one study that came out of Chicago that found that kids who did better at the end of a pre-K program, when they went in a year later at the end of kindergarten, those kids were actually doing worse. So the researchers wanted to understand why, and they went in and they measured the quality of the kindergarten classrooms. And what they found was that in a good kindergarten classroom, the kids from pre-K still had an advantage. But in a poor quality classroom, those kids were really struggling. They were not only not doing better, they were doing worse. And the researchers think it's because those kids were used to being in a supportive and high-quality environment, so it was kind of a shock when they went into a poor-quality kindergarten. So it's just a reminder that we need to make sure that we're doing what's right for kids from birth all the way up to graduating from high school, that we really need to create a good system.
As you point out in the book, early childhood education in America is at a crossroads. Are you optimistic about the future of pre-K and early childhood education?
I am. We have a bigger commitment to early childhood education than we ever have before, not only in terms of policymakers supporting programs, but over 90% of parents and voters believe that early childhood education is important for children and for the future of our country. So that's a really positive step. And one of the reasons I set out to write the book is that I wanted to understand what the quality of today's programs look like because I was worried. And I found, as I expected, a real range of quality and that there is still a lot of room for improvement. But I also saw excellent classrooms everywhere from affluent communities to very low-income communities. And that really gave me hope that it is possible and that we have great models to follow that we can make it possible for everyone.
Suzanne, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Suzanne Bouffard, her latest book is The Most Important Year, Pre-Kindergarten and the Future of Our Children. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition. Archives of our programs are available at WVXU.org. The producer for today's show was Pete Reitmeier. The technical director was Rick Andres. I'm Mark Haney. Stay tuned for Here and Now, coming up next on 91.7 WVXU.